Hi, folks. Welcome to episode 339 of the Fantastic Forecast, the world's greatest podcast. I'm Elroy Burkbell, filling in for Dave Elliott, who's out in the Indian Ocean trying to find that missing plane. Good luck with that. On today's episode, Fantastic Four 339 from April 1990, Visit to a Large Empire by Walter Simonson. The issue begins with the Fantastic Four, along with Thor and Iron Man. There seems to be five members on this Fantastic Four. Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, oh yeah, Human Torch, some kind of female thing, a she-thing, and Ben Grimm, formerly the Thing. So they're on Reed's time sled, getting sucked into a large black hole in the center of a large machine created by Galactus, who's trying to eat the entire friggin' universe. Oh, that's a hungry motherfucker. Reminds me of my Aunt Obesia when we take her to the Golden Corral. The Human Torch has gone a little nuts thanks to these images of this blue lady that keeps popping up in his mind, which is messing him up. And he's chasing after this alternate future Kang who's fallen into the black hole. Reed stretches out an arm and grabs Johnny, but they're still rushing toward the hole. They turn the engine sharply to the left to kind of orbit around the hole, but they're still too damn close. All the light is sucked out, and they're left in the dark. It's kind of like whenever it rains and we lose power in my trailer park. You can't see shit. So for a page and a half, there ain't no art, just word balloons in a black background. They need more power to escape, so they come up with an idea, hooking up Iron Man's repulsors and jet boots, along with running some wires over to Thor's hammer and into the engines of the time sled to give them a large boost. They finish hooking everything up in the dark. Reed tells them all to hold on tight, and whoosh! They power up, and the time sled goes flying out of the black hole. They check on Johnny to see how he's doing. He's a little bit groggy, and he's still under the influence of that blue lady, and he don't regret nothing about killing no Kang in the last issue. Thor is the only person who doesn't mind that Johnny killed that guy. But of course, he's a badass, and Reed's a liberal pussy. Reed tells Sue to keep an eye on Johnny. They know something's not right with him. Kind of messed up in the head. Personally, I'd rather be keeping my eyes on Sue. That is one foxy bitch. So next, everyone figures they gotta destroy Galactus' machine before he eats everything, but the machine he's using is ginormous. So the She-Thing, of all people, has a suggestion. The Shi'ar, an alien race from the pages of the X-Men. How does she know about them? But Reed thinks that's a great idea. He has Thor swing around that big hammer of his, and whoosh, they are teleported off to another galaxy, right in the middle of the shitload of spaceships. But they're not in danger. Reed says they've been moved to the perimeter of the time bubble, where everything is frozen in place, except them. Reed starts scanning for powerful energy fields, and they fly over one. They land the time sled and get out. An Iron Man looks around and says it looks like a giant munitions factory. He says they may be able to use some of the weapons there to destroy Galactus' universe-eating machine, and even hurt Galactus himself. So they put the She-Thing and Thor to work, picking up shit, hammering away. As they work, Sue asks Reed if he regrets saving Galactus' life once, and he says, no. He says he'd always rather use his mind to think of another solution. What a jerk. Sue is too good for him, if you ask me. Sometimes when a guy's an asshole, you just gotta take him out behind the woodshed and blow his brains out. You know, not in a homosexual way, but with a gun, right? Next, we see this other badass alien flying through space. His name is Gladiator. No, it ain't no Russell Crowe, but it's a purple guy with a big red cape and a mohawk. I used to date a chick with a mohawk. While in bed. I guess that so-called time bubble perimeter frozen in place isn't affecting him. He notices that something strange is going on at that weapons factory, so he swoops in and crashes the party, flying right into Thor with a powerful punch. Iron Man doesn't know who the guy is, but he keeps working. Johnny sees Gladiator and thinks to himself, this should be interesting. He's a handsome brute, whoever he is. I guess that blue lady in his head is talking, because I don't think Johnny swings that way. Reed recognizes the Gladiator, and they're all just gonna hang back and let Thor deal with him. So Thor gets up, looking like someone just pissed in his Cheerios. He flies back at Gladiator, swinging his big hammer around like the fancy lad he is, telling Gladiator he's gonna teach him a lesson, and bam, knocks Mr. Mohawk upside his noggin. Gladiator fires back at Thor with his heat vision. Heat vision? Where does this goofball think he's from? Krypton? Thor swings his hammer in a circle and blocks the I-beams, much to Gladiator's disappointment. He says to Thor, "Drop your weapon and surrender, villain, before I am forced to destroy you." She thinks had enough of sitting on the sidelines, so she runs toward the alien. But instead of fighting, she stands between Gladiator and Thor and points out that they're surrounded by all these powerful weapons, and their fighting might just set them off. It's like playing with matches in a pile of kindling. "I don't know nothing about this she thing, Broad, but I don't like her. I want to see Thor kick some ass. Now's not the time for diplomacy. That's not why I paid for this comic. Actually, I didn't pay for this comic. I stole it from a pile of comics at the Children's Hospital. Don't tell anyone." Thor has all this stored up energy from Gladiator's eye beams, so he agrees to shoot it up into the air. And Gladiator is surprised to hear them all speaking English. Reed steps in and tells Gladiator they need his help. So after Reed fills him in, we learn that Gladiator can change his speed so he can interact with them and not be affected by the time bubble. He uses his hypervision to see far off into space and see that, yes indeedy, Galactus is eating the entire universe. Reed says they need help taking all the explosive-laden spaceships and fly them into Galactus's universe-eating machine. Johnny looks at Gladiator. The blue lady inside him thinks that Gladiator would make a great consort. I don't know what a consort is, but it sounds like something that might be illegal here in the South. Gladiator says that all the weapons in the Shi'ar Empire might not be enough for the job, but says, "However, let me show you something." They look down at the weapons factory, and he says the entire thing is a spaceship and can be moved. And as a regent for the Empire, he's gonna commandeer the entire thing. Reed asks him if he's sure the Shi'ar Empire will be left defenseless if they do this, but Gladiator says it must be done to save the universe from Galactopus. So a little later, Johnny gets Gladiator alone and starts hitting on him with flattery. I'm assuming it's the blue lady who's in control of Johnny's facilities. He says, "You handled yourself well against Thor, Gladiator. Why have you never overthrown your emperor and become ruler of the Shi'ar Empire yourself? I suspect the role would suit you wonderfully." Gladiator tells Johnny it ain't no concern of his. He's sworn an oath to the Emperor, and he tells Johnny that he thinks he's strange. He senses some kind of fusion within Johnny, and he heads off to tell Reed. But inside Johnny, the blue lady is kind of pissed, and she's making plans to take over Gladiator's body. So later, Johnny gets back to the time sled, and Reed tells him to get aboard. He hits the ignition, and the entire weapons facility takes off. In fact, multiple weapons facilities take off, and they all start traveling at faster than light speed, and soon arrive at that large universe-eating machine. Back in the western United States, under the Diablo Mountains, an alarm goes off. The top of the mountain explodes, and a large hand and a large head emerge from a long hibernation under the mountain. Out comes this big, giant, robot alien creature thing. It's Tiamat, the Black Celestial. Actually, he's blue and yellow, but that doesn't sound as cool as the Black Celestial. And what's he gonna do next? He's probably gonna cause some shit for the Fantastic Four. That would be my guess. But we'll have to wait until next issue and find out what he does, because that is the end of this one. And that's all I got for today, folks. You can download all of the other episodes of this podcast, whatever it's called, at iTunes, or you can find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. Dave's other podcast, Comic Book Doggerel, whatever, can be found at iTunes or at podomatic.com. You can also join the Facebook page at www.facebook.com/podcastff. I'm not sure why you'd want to do that, but there you go. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need any relationship advice, you can go fuck yourself. No, actually, you can email us at podcastff@gmail.com. That's all I got for now, folks. Goodbye, y'all.
Stranger things have happened.